Let's open our Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you. If not, maybe look on with somebody, or if you have your electronic Bible, do that. But we're going to open to John 3:16 and read this out loud. We do this just to read out loud because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we're going to read John 3:16, 17, and 18. Hallelujah. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's read. I'm going to read from the King James Version, and you can read from whatever version you have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. One of the things that's so lacking today, and I believe it's increasing, is what people are looking for is love. And the love of God, especially, not just human love, which is important, loving one another, but the love of God, loving people, and showing them the love of God. We are the body of Christ, and we are to be a reflection of him here in this earth. Now let's turn over to, I'm going to pick up or continue here. Let's go over to James chapter 2, and let's start here today. James chapter 2, and these messages on faith are available. Again, we don't charge for anything. You can go out and download them or listen to them, whatever your pleasure, on the website, and they're there for your benefit. James chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 14. And you can follow along. It says, what doth it profit? You know what? Let me back up here. I'm going to read from a different translation this morning. Excuse me for, let me just get right over here for a second and just hold steady with me here. I meant to do this and I didn't. I want to pull up a particular translation of this in James chapter 2. Let me just get this up here for a second. Just bear with me. And we'll be with you in a second here. Well, let me do this while I don't want to hold you up here. I'm going to read from the New Century Version. If you're following along in a electronic Bible, I'm going to be reading from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 in the New Century Version. It really speaks well on this. Okay. It says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Let me read that again. It says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. I wrote this down. It says, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. It's the same thing. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Just having faith without doing something, people have faith. Faith comes, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith can come, but if faith isn't acted upon, then it means nothing. It's dead faith. That's what the King James says. It's dead. This says it's worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? It says a brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your faith, your words are worth nothing. In the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God, good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. So here you can see here, even demons believe that God is, but they don't go any further than that. They don't seek God, but they believe God. They believe there is, they believe he exists, but they go no further than that. So that's dead faith. Or you could say that's demon faith. We want to go past that, right? We want to do something. And this says here, verse 20, you foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Abraham, our ancestor, was made right with God by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So you see that Abraham's faith and the things he did worked together. His faith was made perfect by what he did. This shows the full meaning of the scripture that says, Abraham believed God, and God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God, and Abraham was called God's friend. So you see that people are made right with God by what they do, not by faith only. So faith was not just the only thing that got us into the kingdom of God. It was believing and doing, confessing with our mouths. So we had to express or confess what we believe. So it wasn't just faith only that made us right with God. It was acting on what we believed. And it says, verse 24, so you see that people are made right with God by what they do, not by faith only. Another example is Rahab, a prostitute who was made right with God by something she did. She welcomed the spies into her home and helped them escape by a different road. Now, verse 26, just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. So you've got to do something with this faith that you have. Otherwise, it's dead faith. Let me read a couple of translations. This is the Message translation. It says, the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. So the minute my spirit leaves my body, this is just a heap on the ground. It's a corpse. And it says, separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. It's dead faith. So just like in Jesus' time, when the power of God was present to heal, it said he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. So they didn't act on they didn't believe what he said. So their faith had to do something, and their faith activated the power of God. So just like the woman with the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus, she pressed her way through and said what? She said with her mouth, if I may but touch his garments, I shall be whole. So her faith pulled on or activated the power of God. So faith that does nothing is worth nothing. It's dead faith. So what are we saying in all this? You say, well, I know that, Pastor. I've heard this 100 times. I know that, or may know that. But here's the thing. We have to examine and look at ourselves and say, am I doing everything with my faith? Am I activating, or am I stepping out? Am I doing what God has told me to do? And if you have, then take a look at, then let's look at, if you're doing that, then look at Hebrews chapter 10. And let's take a look at this just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 and 36. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence. See, when you have faith, you have confidence. See, a lot of times we use these words, we say, well, I have faith. Okay, if you have faith and you have confidence, you have absolute assurance, you have absolute confidence that what I believe, it's coming to pass no matter what I experience, because why? I'm confident. I believe that what God has put in my heart, I'm stepping out. Yeah, I'm going to walk through some seasons, but this is what it says here in verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence or your faith in what God told me to do. Cast not it away, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away. It says, don't be, what does Galatians say? Don't be weary in your well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So that means we're supposed to do something. So verse 36, for you have need of what? You got need of something. Don't cast it away. You have need to do something. What? You got to have patience. You've got to stand and have patience. What? That after you have done something. What? You've done the will of God. You might receive the promise. So faith has to do something, right? After you've done the will of God. Not just, well, I'm believing. Okay, so what are you doing? If you have faith, that means that you have faith in what? Something God told me to do, something he revealed to me in his word, then I've done something. And then after I've done that, then I need to have patience. Because after I've done that, I'm going to receive something. I'm going to receive his promise. I'm going to receive the reward. And so, if we're standing, then we need patience. And one thing, as I was standing here in worship, there was something the Holy Spirit brought to my mind that we'll just touch on, and it was Minister Joe was sharing about the law of sowing and reaping. Turn over to, for a moment, to Romans chapter 3. Just for a second here to make a point. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse, whoops, I'm in wrong chapter here, hold on a second. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 27. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So faith is a law. How many know about the law of gravity? So if I step off this building, it doesn't matter. Let's see. If I'm heavy, I'm going down. If I'm light and skinny, I'm going down. If I'm white, I'm going down. If I'm black, I'm going down. It doesn't matter. Why? It's a law. And so faith, just like gravity, is a law. And if I work that law, it doesn't matter who I am, what background I've come out of, that law will work because it's the God kind of faith. It's a law. And that's exciting to me because if God has promised it, and it's in his word, then it's going to come to pass. It's promised. And so if God has promised something in his word, then I can exercise faith, and the law of faith will work in my behalf. And the more I meditate in God's word, then my confidence will grow in that particular area, or my faith will grow. But one thing that we have to keep in mind is that we're to operate, let me say it this way. When you have confidence in a particular area, when your heart is stirred in a particular area, that's the time you're to act. It's just like Robert said this morning. She said, I just have this stirring. I need to say something. See, that was acting on faith. See. And it's the same thing. If you have a stirring in your heart to do something and you know it's God's will, you act on it. And you keep pursuing that until you see the end of it. Let me say another way. Dead faith, let me go another way here. What was the beginning of this, what I was reading in the New Century Version in verse 14? It says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. And it says here in the King James Version, in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, or we could say a corresponding action, is dead, being alone. So dead faith, faith that isn't acted upon, produces no fruit. So something that's dead doesn't produce fruit. A dead tree doesn't produce fruit. Dead faith doesn't produce something. So when you are acting on the word of God, when you are releasing your faith, faith will work. Most times we don't see it through. When I say see it through, we don't wait patiently and we let go. But faith was working. Why? Because you started, you were acting in faith, you stepped out, and so most times, or a lot of times, we just let go. And we think, well, it's not changing. And so we let go of where faith is concerned. Now let's go over for a moment. I wanted to look at this, touched on this last week, to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to look at this particular scripture again. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse 29. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, this is the King James, assaying to do, were drowned. In verse 30, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And when we go to look at, I'm not going to go over there now, but when you look at Exodus and you look at the account of the Israelites going through the Red Sea, Moses obeyed a command of the Lord. And so he operated in faith. That's why this even ended up in this book, in this chapter. He operated in faith as the Lord told him. He said, stretch out your rod. And he did so, and it parted, and the people walked over as on by dry ground. And once they were across, he said, put your rod over there, and he brought it back to its original place. And this says here, and the Egyptians assaying, it just means they were attempting to do what the Israelites were doing. They weren't in faith. Because actually, if you think about it, the Lord told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He didn't say capture them. So they were against the will of God. So they were just trying to do what the Israelites were doing, and they got wiped out. But let's turn over to Joshua. I want to look at this particular account here. Joshua chapter 3. And let's look at verses 9 through 17 in Joshua. And we read this last week, but I want to look at this a little closer again today. Starting in verse 9, it says, and Joshua came unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail. What did he say? He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites or Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, tribe a man, and it shall come to pass. Now this is the Lord speaking. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of your feet or the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Now that must have been a sight. And the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, you tell them that as soon as the priests bearing the ark touch the water, it'll start to part. As soon as you touch the water. And verse 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they came, as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. They just touched the water. This was the command of the Lord. He said, as soon as you do this, this will happen. So they gave that instruction, and as they touched it, what happened? The power of God was released. Their faith activated the power of God. And it said here that as soon as their feet that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, that's the Dead Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So here, they just touched the water, boom, and you got hundreds of thousands of people passing over the Jordan. So, let's fast forward. Let's go over to verse 14 and look at verse chapter 4 and verse 14. Well, you can look in verse 10. It says, for the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. So this water's piling up in a heap until they passed over. That must have been a sight. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they do what? Come up out of the Jordan. So now all the people are over. He's saying to them, come up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and look at this, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land. So as soon as their feet touched the dry land, the Jordan came back into place again. So here's the point. What things has God told you to do? What things has God revealed in his word? This is what I'm saying. When God says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon me, the Gentile. When I reach out and I take that, I activate the power of God that his life flows through me and does what? Causes that which he says I am to be. I am blessed. I am healed. I am prosperous. And when I say that and I release my words of faith, the power of God causes that to be in me. Amen. Glory to God. But it's going to take my confidence, it's going to take faith in God's word to release the power of God. Hallelujah. So that's what has stirred me, that as soon as those priests touched the water, the power of God parted the Jordan. But they had to do something. They had to obey that command. They had to step down and touch the water. They had to get into the water for God to do what he said he would do. And so the same thing. The things that God has spoken to us, the things that God has promised us in his word, faith is going to come as we meditate on it. But then once faith comes, I'm going to have to release my words and my actions are going to have to follow what I believe. And then as I'm doing that, the power of God is released in my life, in my body, in my circumstances, in my family. And the power of God will begin to work. But I don't see a change. Well, that's what it says. That when you've done all that you know to do, stand, have patience, so that what? That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And so what we're finding is that we need to have some patience sometimes and continue to keep, just like what we were doing this morning, keep the spirit of joy stirred up in your heart. Keep your thanksgiving and your praise stirred up. Keep your heart stirred up, knowing that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let's just look at this for a minute here in Hebrews chapter 11. And just remind ourselves of this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, by faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that, what, cometh to God, must believe that what? He is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently do what? Seek him. Now, I'll just say this, that you have to believe that something exists for you to seek it. Otherwise, why would you seek it? And you seek him because you know he's what? He's a rewarder. He's promised something. And I'm going to seek after it because I believe it's there. It's for my benefit, my taking, and it's available to me. And I'm going to seek him. But it says here, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means you're consistently seeking, searching, pursuing. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. Don't let go. So what is faith? Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. But we are a people that acts in faith or pursues or releases words of faith and actions of faith, things that we're confident that God has promised or God is providing. And how does that confidence? Sometimes people will say, well, I have faith. But if you had faith and confidence, you would do something. You would pursue something. And you can see that let's take a look here. There's just one other. Take a look at Acts 14. Acts 14, we'll close with this. Acts 14 and look at verses 8. It says, there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. He did what? He heard Paul speak. So faith had to come right there from hearing him speak. Who steadfastly beholding him, Paul did what? He perceived that he had faith to be healed. So the power of God was there, present to heal. He had faith, but he wasn't doing anything. And it wasn't until Paul perceived that he had faith to what? To be healed. And what did Paul say? He said, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So the power of God was there to heal. He had faith. So that's a good question or a good point. You could have faith to be healed. You could have faith to be prosperous. And the power of God is present to prosper you and heal you, but you do nothing. And you go away empty. I know many years ago, I'll share it again. I like to share it. But many years ago, as a young man, I operated and continue to operate today. I work the word. What does that mean? I continually feed upon it and say it where my health is concerned. But early in my life, I did not operate the word of God in the area of finances. And consequently, I was reaping what I was sowing. I was behind. I was not prospering to the degree that I should prosper. And so I was home one day. I had a very high temperature. And I began to just laugh. I decided that day, I said, you know what, I'm just going to laugh at these symptoms. I'd never done that before. And I just decided to start laughing at them. Didn't feel like laughing. The Lord didn't tell me to laugh. I just decided I'm healed. I'm laughing at this. And so I started to laugh. And as I did, it began to stir up in my heart more laughter. And before I know it, I was in full-blown, just Holy Ghost laughter, just a good, hard belly laugh, a Holy Ghost laugh. And that went on for a good 10, 15 minutes. And when it began to subside down, I was quiet, and the Holy Ghost began to say something to me. And this is what he said. He said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And I went, wow. And I said, yep, that's true, because I'm not working the word in the area of finances like I'm working the word in the area of healing. And I could see immediately where the problem was. He knew. And so I immediately began to work the word. What do I mean? That when I began to sow my seed, when I began to bring my offerings into the church, I began to release words of faith. First of all, in this case, no one had taught me, this is years ago, that I should be doing that. Not just because I was taught to bring my tithes in, but not to release words of faith over my offering. And to thank God every day. I thank you, Father, that the seed that I sowed is working, and it's going to come back to be multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men are giving into my bosom. What did Dr. Hutton say when he was here recently? We're not droppers, we're sowers. I'm not just dropping my seed in the bucket and not releasing words of faith over what I just put in there. And believing, convinced. See, faith is convinced that when it sowed that seed, it's doing something. Because remember, dead faith produces no fruit. So faith that's active, faith that believes, faith that has confidence says, when I sow this seed, it's spiritual and it is being multiplied back to me. So it doesn't matter what I see. Doesn't matter what I'm experiencing. I'm convinced that this seed is producing. And it will come back to me. And it will produce. And so I began to do that. And it took time to change, but it did change. And so that's what the Lord revealed to me as a young person. And it's no different whether it's finances or whether it's your health. You need to feed on the Word of God. How does faith grow? Faith grows by feeding on the Word of God, meditating on it, reading God's Word, so that confidence and faith comes into my heart, and then I'm to do something at that point. And that's how faith grows. And so we can have, that's why when I get excited when I read these accounts where when the Lord spoke to Joshua and he gave instructions, and as soon as those priests touched the water, it began to part. As soon as Moses put his staff over the Red Sea, it began to part. So my point is, as soon as God reveals something in his word to you, and you release your words of faith, something is changing in your life. It's working. It's working. It's changing. And don't let the devil take the shout of victory out of your voice. Because that's what he wants to do. You know, most of us, we start out with this, yes, sir, I believe. And then when we get going along on this path of faith here, we're walking and we're not seeing the change as quickly. It goes from this to, I believe. And so that voice of victory, instead of it being a shout of victory, it becomes a real weak shout. And he tries to take from you and discourage you. Don't be discouraged. God cannot lie. If he said it, what does he say in Jeremiah? Watch over my word to perform it. And so he will bring to pass that which he promised. But just don't get weary in well-doing. When we say keep the switch of faith on, it's your faith that activates the power of God. And so you keep your words active. You keep them full of faith. When you're feeling like nothing's working, you just rise up and say, ha ha, my faith is working. And God is working in my behalf in this situation. And it is changing and working. If you're doing everything you know to do, and you're operating in faith and you've released your faith, then it is working. And you don't let the devil, see, I'll just say it this way. Unless God reveals to you that you need to make an adjustment, don't listen to your enemy's voice. Because he's the one that's come to do what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. Let God direct you. If he's spoken to us in his word, then it's so. And you stand on that word and don't get off it until you see the fruit of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Hallelujah. I just encourage you. Keep the switch of faith turned on. You keep your confidence in God and his word, and you'll see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's enough for today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, which is forever settled in heaven. Thank you that your word cannot change. We thank you that you are without variableness nor shadow of turning. That means the word is without variableness or shadow of turning. And what you've promised me, Father, and promised us in your word, it shall come to pass. It shall be in our lives. And as we believe it and act upon it, the power that's in your word is released in our life. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, something, I'll just share this. You know, something that the Lord was prompting me recently. And sometimes, you know, we've heard this, I'm waiting on God, I'm waiting on the Lord to do something. Yes, it does tell us to wait on the Lord. But once we've gotten instructions, I heard Brother Hagin share this on some tapes. He was talking in a lesson on finances. And now, of course, he knew the will of God. This pertained to a building that they owned. And he said this in a way that I had to actually stop the tape and meditate on it a little bit. And it made me sit down, and I sat and thought about it for a while. He said, we rented this building, they owned the property in this building. But he said, I wanted to pay off the mortgage on this building. This was a ministry building. And I wanted to pay off the mortgage. And he said, I said, just because Jesus said I could have what I say. He said, now Jesus didn't tell me to say this, but I said it just because Jesus said I could have what I say. In Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. And he said, I just said, somebody is going to give us $10,000 for the ministry and pay off this mortgage. And he said, I said it because Jesus said I could say and have what I believe. And he said, not too long after, in about 3 weeks, this woman gave $10,000 to the ministry, and we paid off the mortgage. And then he began to say, and you know what? Somebody's going to give us $25,000. And he said, not too long after that, somebody did. And then he began to say, and you know what? Somebody's going to give us $50,000. And he said, I'm saying it just because Jesus said I could have what I say. And so it got me to thinking about some things. What are we saying about the things that we have in our home, in the ministry, businesses that we may own and run? You're having what you say. And that is not meant to be a put down in any way, but we can expand and we can grow and we can have things just because Jesus said, I could have what I say. If you look at Proverbs chapter 4, and I believe verse 23 or 24, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. If you look that word issues up, it means boundaries. You set the boundaries in your life by what comes out of your heart or out of your mouth. If you say I can't, then you won't. If you say you can, you will. So really, we need to be speaking things more into existence to promote God's kingdom. I asked this question. This was something that the Holy Ghost spoke to Pastor Clinton years ago when he was alive, before he even went to Rhema, because he shared it. I happened to be at that meeting. This was back in the, it was before he went to Rhema, so it was around 1978, 79, somewhere around there. He was in Philadelphia. Kenneth Copeland called him out of the audience, came up, and he said, began to prophesy some things to him, and he said, the people will come and the money will come. And he likes to say, at the time, he said, what people? What are you talking about? But when God says the people will come and the money will come, to me, that's something that God has spoken over this ministry. He didn't put a timetable on it. He didn't say the people will come only between here and here. The people did come. But I'm going to tell you something. It takes faith to remind God and say the people will come and the money will come. And so if he's spoken something and that was something he spoke to Pastor Clinton, I receive that. The people will come and the money will come. If he's spoken things to you individually, it doesn't matter what season you're in, you keep the words of faith active. Keep speaking those words of faith. Keep your heart stirred, because truly it shall come to pass. It has to. Amen. Glory to God. Bless God.